Radio. Folks, it's Joe and Kurt from Emotional Hangs.
You're about to listen to a fantastic episode. We interview the fantastic friend pair, Aaron McGathy and Robin Buck.
Beautiful people. Beautiful conversation. We had a great time, and you'll have a great time listening to it.
Here's the deal. I just want to let you know, if you're going to be in Las Vegas, May 18th through 20th, I'm there with the Crapshoot Comedy Festival. And then also, I'm going to be going out on tour with The Big Sick, which is a movie I was in. It's me, Kumail Nanjiani, Ray Romano, and A.D. Bryant. We're coming to Boston, Philly, New York, and Los Angeles. So look, check out my stuff for where we'll be for that.
And I'll see you San Francisco nights at Clusterfest early June. I perform on the 3rd and 4th.
Enjoy the episode. Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand. Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs. That is Kurt Braunohler.
That is Joe DeRosa.
This is the podcast about adult friendship, vulnerability, and emotions.
We just get soft with each other.
Yeah. So
I jumped the gun on the tagline.
I'll count it off.
Okay, thank you so much.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Let's get soft.
Some exciting things are happening in the world of Emotional Hangs. We got our first live booking. It's not till way off in the fall, but we will be playing the Come and Take It Festival, Kurt and I.
In Houston, Texas.
Texas. We will be doing a live podcast from
the Secret Group's place. Those guys are great. And they've brought both of us out many times, and so I'm very excited to do their festival.
Kurt and I will also be doing a co-headlining show, so you're getting double the trouble.
Oh boy!
For single the money.
After single the money. That Joe was like, "Let's book some shows around that time." I was like, "I know, but like, well, then we have to split the money. We're just going to be eating out of a tin can at the end of the night."
I'm not the idiot that went and started a family.
Yeah, I know. You're lean and mean. I got this baggage.
All I got to take care of is that Galaga machine in my living room.
And it's cheap. You bought a Galaga machine?
I have a full-size Galaga machine with 60 games on it.
You're just regressing to like an infant.
I don't want to have anything to do with this world anymore. I'm done. I've officially graduated to strictly being a spectator. I don't want to deal with any person involved with any group anywhere at all at any time. I'm sick of everything.
Oh, good.
And by the way, UNICEF, get off my dick. Seriously. I gave you guys money a couple years ago. I don't need the phone calls and the emails. Stop trying to guilt me into more. I give to charities.
Phone calls?
I get phone calls from UNICEF now. I give to the Children of St. Jude's Hospital every month. Gladly. I give to another charity.
Even your charities are like an old man's charities. Like UNICEF is something I donated to in like third grade. And St. Jude's Hospital is like, hey, they help out the kids.
Well, it's children with cancer, Kurt. It's actually a beautiful institution that tries to give hope.
Are you like a member of the Lions Club? I feel like that's you also like collect money at diners as well.
It's funny you mention that. I'm doing something at a Lions Club soon.
Fuck you.
I'm doing something soon at a club like that. I swear to God. I don't think I'm performing. I'm just... Anyway. I give.
I know.
Because I like to give, and I don't need the phone calls, UNICEF. What is my nana running it? My nana, who's dead now, who forced me from guilt to maintain a much longer relationship than I ever should have with my heroin-dealing, alcoholic, asshole cousin. That's what guilt does. It keeps you in league with the wrong fucking people.
I feel like you're giving our guests the wrong impression of what this podcast is.
I'm just opening it up.
You're opening it up.
How's your baby?
Boldly anger. My baby is great. She just slept for 7 hours. Only one night. It was three nights ago. But it was a really nice time.
Okay.
And now she's back to... She's around 5.5 hours, so that's like, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I feel drunk all the time.
Have you and the wife had a night out yet? Have you been able to do the, like, get a sitter and you go out and larg and drink again and, you know, it's
She
fun.
Can't drink.
Why?
She's breastfeeding. She can have like one glass of wine.
Bummer.
Or then she has to like get rid of the milk, and we don't just don't have enough milk. Milk is it's like gold in the house.
So do you just get wasted in front of her at dinner?
No, I don't.
It's I'm been, so proud
it's
of you,
immediately
baby.
Become like it's we've immediately just become like parents. It's there's no there's just like, oh, two drinks. All right, going home.
God yeah. bless you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm still out there chasing it. I'll find it someday.
Someday.
Whatever it is I'm
You'll
chasing.
You'll find it. It's a sad bathroom. That's what you're looking for. Guy, we're very excited about our guests today. We have joining us on the show, first-time guests, the comedian and podcaster Erin McGathy and her friend, actor extraordinaire Robin Buck. Hello, welcome, guys.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. Are you sleep training? Are you doing that whole?
No, not yet. Okay. I read, we have a book about sleep training, and it really just seems like how to be a fucking weird Nazi with your child. So we're
Let
just being
cry.
Pretty chill about it right now. But I don't know. Like, she sleeps well, so it's going to be, I hope it's going to be okay. I don't know.
Probably won't.
Yeah. It's weird to, like, wrap a child up and in, like, you, like, wrap it tight
the, like,
so that it can't move
thing?
Like a tortilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just struggles.
You put the little gloves on?
The little doves?
The little gloves?
I think
oh,
that's
no. only if they I just scratch keep her... their face, right?
Or is yeah.
that right? I thought that was preemptive always.
She
is
punches
it?
Herself in the face. She scratches her face. They just she doesn't know she has hands yet.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
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 Aww.
No, it's real helpless animal.
It's real This is so sweet versus I hate charity.
That's
I
that's
love what, charity. I just don't like this guilt trip they give you. It's like
fair.
I stopped giving to UNICEF 2 years ago because they were so persistent. And I was like, guys, don't tell me do what you can and then bug me every other week. You know what I mean?
Do what you can.
That's just gross. It's gross. It's tacky. Yeah. I think.
You should get a drink with any of my uncles.
Yeah, I would love to. I honestly would love to.
I have a few too he could get a drink with, yeah.
I'm not of this time. I'm living in the wrong. I should have been alive in this, like the 70s.
It actually
yeah,
would
you
work
do,
for
you. Have, yeah.
He has like a wife beater, like the t-shirt.
Like a t-shirt.
You can imagine Joe not always the... wearing wife beater and a little dirty fedora. Uh-huh. It's like you're what Woody
chest hair. You're what chest hair.
You're what yeah, Woody Allen 70s. Still imagines to be a person living in Brooklyn.
Do you have a poker game? Do you host
no,
a poker game?
No, I don't.
That
I don't
is shocking.
Care for card games. I do
you
host.
Care for card games?
I'm not very good at gambling, so I'm not a big gambling guy. But I'm not against it. I do host quite a few things at my apartment where I live. I'll have nights of
Aaron's
drinking.
Aaron's a big hoster. I am a big
movies
hoster.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Big into theme parties. Yeah.
What kind of themes?
Oh,
just the last theme. What's the last theme?
The last thing I hosted a bad. We were showing. My friend wrote for this sci-fi show that ended up being terrible, and he was really nervous to watch it. So we
what
had
was
like
it
a.
Called?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, it was called something like this, the singularity or something like really basic, like technology.
I think I watched the singularity. I mean, I definitely watched a show called the singularity.
It's a VR integrated show. So he was writing a show. There's this show that was like, we are a company that wants to integrate VR as part of the experience, but then they didn't have very much money. So he kept on getting notes back that were like, this needs to be set at a table. It can't be. anywhere else. So he had to keep on scaling it back. And then the network was like, everything's set at a table. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. So right. He was scared to watch it. So on Good Friday, we had Good Friday, bad show, good food, bad clothes. And we all dressed in clothes that we wore at one time that we wouldn't wear now. That was the theme.
That's a great theme.
Thank you.
That's not like I thought it was going to be like a Star Wars theme. No, that's a very thoughtful theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
Kurt
you.
Likes to do stuff like that too. He likes to have like these event.
Oh yeah, you had that
hangouts.
Yeah.
He's always like, "Let's go to the. I found a garden in the top of a mountain. Let's go drink in it."
It's always let's
that.
Go drink in it. Though. I think the best theme party that I ever went to though was Scotty Landis had. He would have it every year for New Year's. It was everyone came. It would be a theme each year of like what you wore. I think the year I went was blue jeans and Michael Jackson t-shirts. And then every half hour you would cut an inch off your pants.
Oh, that's great.
Starting
yeah.
at like 7 p.m. So then by midnight, like just everybody's in hot pants and wasted.
Okay.
And also it's like dangerous because like at like 11, like somebody's like yeah. cutting near your crotch with like scissors.
Right.
And everybody felt, it was awesome. And then all of the pants parts are like in a big pile in the middle of the dance floor. It was an excellent
party.
That's
pretty great.
Yeah.
That is great.
I should do stuff like that so I feel less like an alcoholic.
The bachelorette party?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the mermaid lady party.
Oh, yeah. There were the mermaid.
Well, I feel like there's been like a backlash on mermaids and unicorns. Like,
mm-hmm. This
was definitely.
Years ago.
Years ago, we did some mermaid lady parties.
Yeah, yeah. But there were, for my bachelorette party, for my now dissolved marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a choice. But for my bachelorette party, I had like through like a weird turn of events had been sent 12 free wedding dresses from China.
What?
Like what is, so I found when I was looking for wedding dresses, I saw this insanely expensive, like $200,000 like couture dress. And I was like, this dress is so beautiful, but there's no way I would buy this. So I was Googling it and there was some website in Chinese that was like, we'll give this to you for $70. So I was like, I just want to see what happens. I want to see what the result is. So I bought that dress and then a dress arrived that looked absolutely nothing like the dress at all. And I was like, well, all right, whatever. I'll use this for a sketch or something. And then dresses kept on coming. Like there was some glitch and I called them, tried to call them and I couldn't get a response. It was canceled off my credit card. So I didn't pay for them. But I had 12 wedding dresses.
Piled in her basement.
That's amazing.
Were any of them good?
Of wedding dresses.
Were they all the same dress?
No, they were all dramatically different.
Yeah.
And I was like, I ended up, like for my bachelorette party, me and how many bridesmaids? Six bridesmaids? I think I had six.
Six.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I had six of my friends wore, I assigned them different brides and gave them characters. Like you, Robin was Jane Austen bride?
No, that was Kimber. I think I was Princess Bride. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I had an off-the-shoulder. Kimber and I had very similar dresses. They were both off-the-shoulder. So
right. So, but then there was Jane also Austen. Like Kate Freund was like Assassin Bride. And then I had all different.
Barbie Bride.
Yeah. Anyway, we did drugs and we walked around New York City. We walked around San Francisco and I was dressed as a groom. And people thought it was like a marriage equality parade. But we were just high walking around and people were taking pictures with us. And I was just being the groom with all my
I did
brides.
The least amount of drugs, though.
Oh, but anyway, we
just so everybody knows.
On the record, on the podcast
Yeah, Robin is very much just very into organization.
staying in control is, I think, what she means. Probably.
Yes.
Now, Robin, do you? Let's. I want to get into your friendship a bit.
Yeah.
Do you also share the affinity for these themed?
Oh, totally.
Types of extravaganzas.
Yeah, I feel like Aaron's certainly thrown more in the last like 5 years of our friendship, but I've always been an enthusiast of them. I would say.
And how did you two meet?
We met. in a youth group.
Let's see if we can do
church.
It in San Diego.
When we were 15.
Early high school. Freshman year, I feel like.
Yeah, so I think 14 years old.
I'd started dating my first boyfriend, very conservative boy, who took me to youth group. And Aaron and I went to separate high schools, but met in the youth group because Aaron and this boy were in the same
Yes. And her boyfriend
group.
Was very mean to me. but Robin was the first.
He would be so sad to hear that. I
loved Robin because Robin was the first pretty girl to be nice to me. And she had been in a commercial for MTV, and I thought that was very glamorous.
By the time you were 14.
Oh, no, it was after that.
I think it was after that.
But that just,
it was probably within the first year of our friendship, though.
Yeah. But Robin's very beautiful and has always been very beautiful. When I was in high school, I was truly just like a broken table on feet. And she liked me.
I'd just gotten my braces off, so being attractive was like a new thing to me. I love that this was your impression, though. I still felt very like awkward and gangly and weird, but to be fair, there was this boy bandish type boyfriend I had.
Yes,
very like he was a couple years older. He was a junior.
Mm-hmm. He was like prom king.
It was a cooler streak for me.
I liked him at the time, but like just to give you like the dynamic in that youth group was like one day at church, and I grew up in a very religious family. And
so,
and
what flavor of Christianity?
This is
non-denominational,
like non-Catholic.
Okay. So evangelical. I felt took a lot of
Baptist
Bible literally. in some respects. I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
We can get into that, too.
pretty chill Protestant for the most part.
Yes.
And Robin joined this youth group because of her boyfriend, and I was there just because I knew nothing else
to do.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the boyfriend was mean to you.
Well, everyone looked up to...
I would say microaggressive ways, right? Well, he was a very popular, sweet, golden boy Christian. Yeah, nice guy. Yeah. Good influence in some senses.
Just a golden retriever of a human.
But a politician, like...
Yes.
And I was like... He ran for student body.
Before Robin...
He was in the musical with me.
Oh,
that's how we met. And Bye Bye Birdie. He was Conrad's understudy.
Okay. Right.
And I was a sad girl tap dancing.
Okay. The youth group was very small. It was like five or six people. And before Robin joined, and are we saying his name?
Drake Colton,
we'll say. Okay.
In case he runs for office someday, I don't know.
Okay, so Drake. before they joined, I was the only girl, and I was kind of like the class clown of the group. But not in a way that I was like a smarmy class clown, but like would fall on purpose, just be like, the boys are laughing at me.
Did you do that voice?
And they're like, now we know what you're doing, and it's very transparent. Just one day, this is after being in the youth group for years, I came to the youth group, and we all went to separate high schools, and I said, guys, guess what? Big moment for old Aaron McGathy. This boy came up to me in between classes and asked if he could carry my books across campus.
Oh, wow.
And I was really proud of this. Mm-hmm. And Blake said...
Drake, sorry.
Drake Holt.
There we go. Drake said... are you sure he wasn't being nice? And I said, well, I don't know. I think he likes me. And then the rest of the day, he was so stuck on it. He was like, Aaron, I think, just so you know, I think he was just being nice. I think you're just like with no information except for knowing me. Like, I assume. No.
Strangely, and you, this is one of these things, and we talk about this sort of thing on the podcast a lot. Strangely, this is, I think, an example of a youth, if you will. He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right.
He's not trying to be mean. He's trying to be like, I don't want you to get your feelings hurt.
And in his mind, he's looking into like a garbage can after a gross party, and it's like, garbage can. I don't think you're gonna have sex. garbage can.
As an adult, you learn.
I don't want you to dream so high.
Yeah, you don't say these things. You don't help anybody out.
Dream so high.
I wasn't there for this, or else I feel like I would have been upset.
Did you ever get mad? At Robin here for not like sticking up for you? Were you ever like, your boyfriend's a real dick to me, man, and you don't say anything because he's gonna run for Congress?
No, because when Robin came around, there wasn't those kind of passive aggressive things didn't happen.
I think you'd both grown up a little bit, maybe at that point. I feel like, was that like more middle school years that he was kind of like that, or no? It was early, probably.
I was like freshman year.
Yeah,
but also like by the time that Robin got there, I felt like he thought I was funny. I feel embarrassed saying this because he definitely did. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about Blake Bolton thinking I'm funny.
Did he think I was funny? It's funny because my impression. I know. I think you describe it as like, you know, you were doing these things to. Well, I'll just say that when I joined the youth group, I gravitated towards Aaron because I was like, oh, this girl's like in her own skin. She's fearless in a lot of ways. And which is so funny because, you know, in her mind, she's like, I was totally insecure and just doing things to be liked and this, that,
yeah,
this and that.
But still doing all this.
That's funny.
Right, sure. But my thing was, I was just so impressed with how she was like this tall, beautiful presence who... I mean, really, you know.
I mean, to be fair, if we look, I was...
Who was
also 90 pounds heavier than I am now. I was tall in all directions.
It's interesting to hear the way people perceive.
Yeah. Like, she wasn't afraid to speak up. And especially in that youth group church environment where I feel like there is a lot of sort of specified roles for how women should be acting and how men should be acting in those scenarios and what was taught to us as well in that world. That was kind of what kept me. I was like, oh, I'll go to this youth group because like this girl seems like she's not just
That's
like
nice. I didn't
here
know
to
that.
Necessarily, you know,
And that's Aaron, and that's Aaron's path to God. For you. Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah, and you guys
she
are
was
both
like the
still
pool
Christian.
Girl at church
oh
camp.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard the news?
That's great.
Yeah, that's I'm actually what we're here news. To talk to you about.
That's great.
But yeah, no, like.
But then she broke up with Blake and then started dating Kyle Mooney, who's
this is also true.
Yeah, who's like super funny and is now on SNL.
Yeah, who's great? Oh, the kid with the crazy hair, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he's great. And then I started doing improv shows.
Wait, he went to your high school?
He went to high school with me. They dated for years. Yeah.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, because we're from San Diego, and then they would come to my improv shows lasted 4 hours. Because when you're in high school, you're like, no, you guys don't get it yet. I gotta
yeah.
keep doing this.
Yeah.
We're gonna do every sketch. Yeah, the. It's funny the impressions you have of people because, you know, Kurt, I would have never guessed I'd be friends with Kurt or close friends, at, you know, to say the least. But
oh,
it's,
never.
No, seriously. When I met Kurt, we met in our New York years doing comedy. But, he was running around town with Kristen Shaw. And I was like, oh, he's one of those, like, super cool Rafifi alternative comics. Like,
and I am.
He'll think I'm
very cool.
Seem very edgy.
I mean, the darling of the alternative comics.
Yeah, darling. And then I'm guessing
the
you thought
the alternative comedy scene that still exists.
Yeah, you guys are different enough. If I had to guess, I would assume that you went through some sort of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles situation. Like, on the other end, your friend.
Honestly, we didn't. I think we quickly bonded over insecurities. And disgust with the bit. I remember one of the first real conversations we ever had was, I'm never fucking moving to LA. Me neither. Fuck that place.
Yeah.
So we had a.
And then you bit into your big old pizza.
Yeah.
We moved at the exact same time.
And then you said, is it the water?
Yeah. So we just, there were like moments like that. Honestly, like the thing for me with Kurt, I can't speak for him about me, but the thing for me with him was actually. It was probably the same for both of us. I remember being backstage with you and Kristen Shaw at Comics New York, which is a club that's no longer with us. And I said, I'm just so jealous of you guys. Like, I just want to be over doing shows where you guys are. And Kristen was like, what are you talking about? Like, we want to be over here where you get paid. We want to do it. And that's when I was like, oh, we all think it's better on the other side of the fence. Totally. And everybody's feeling equally insecure and frustrated and whatever. And that's kind of how that was the realization when I think I started to kind of become friendly with Kurt, you know, but it wasn't. Yeah, there was no like anti-honeymoon period or something where we had to. Where we had to birth the friendship, you know?
Did you guys have a lot of mutual friends in common when you became friends?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, not like super tight. I would say I've now met more of your friends.
I have more friends.
Yeah. but no, I don't think, I mean, we were really just from so two different, totally different worlds.
That's cool.
But yeah, but look at that. Now I have to ask you, totally freaked me out, Aaron, when I walked in and I said, hi, Aaron. You said, oh, we've met before.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually a thing. And I'm now terrified. I said, don't say anything. Just tell me what it is.
Where?
Well, don't be terrified.
Okay.
Because I think
I'm scared.
No. Don't be scared at all. I think this is.
Because there are certain times during my life that I don't want to know if people remember meeting me from.
I will say this did have a big emotional impact on me at the time.
Wow.
But don't be scared. Don't be scared.
But it really is not on you. So you and I shot our Drunk History season 2s on the same day.
Oh, yes.
In the same house.
Yes.
Yes. And I had been there, like the way they did this was they instead of coming to our house, they rented like an Airbnb, and I was early in the morning, like noon to 4 or whatever. And so we passed each other as I was finishing up and you were coming in, and I had a flu. So I was like on a bunch of drugs, and then I also was super, super drunk, like so drunk. And I was like, oh God, I need to go home. Like I feel so sick. And I was excited before the shoot. I was like, oh, Kurt Brennholler, ooh, like, because I like your work. And I was like, well, that'll be fun to like meet him as I'm leaving. And I like gathered together my things, and Derek's say, like, this is all very blotchy because I was like in it graying out.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out, and the PA is about to take me home. And I said, hi, I'm Aaron. And you said, you don't, in my drunk memory, what you said was, you don't seem drunk at all. And
I put you in your head about it.
Yeah,
that you didn't do a good job getting drunk.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, oh. And then I also felt like I had bothered you or offended you or like done it wrong, like in my drunk head. So the rest is a blackout. But what I did was I texted a very random group of people on my phone, including Robin, and apparently had them come to the drawing room in Los Feliz. And
so she could get drunk enough.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The PA brought me to the drawing room, and what I've heard and what I've seen videos of this.
Whoa.
I was holding court and telling everybody about Benedict Arnold and just doing my day
doing
again.
Her bit all over.
Oh my God.
And I was crying about Benedict Arnold, and I like it was one of those nights where afterwards I was texting people like, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Is everything okay?" And they're like, "It's the drunkest you've ever been, but we've all been there." Like no comforting things like, "You know you were fine." Like no you were fine.
I think in my
Holy
head,
shit.
I do
but
remember
But I don't blame you for the
you.
Drinking, but...
Because to me, not seeming drunk is a compliment. It's like, why you drank a lot
together.
And you don't see...
But
yeah, like,
show,
you got your shit together.
Yeah, yeah.
But
for
I also
the show,
felt,
I really wanted... Yeah.
I felt the same way when I watched my drunk history. I was like, I didn't get drunk enough. Because I was like, this. I just seem like fine.
Well, and when I watched your drunk history, I was like, he's not drunk at all.
Yeah. I had a lot to drink, but I was like, again, I was like trying to keep it together. Where it's
yeah.
like, that's not the point. The point is to be drunk.
Totally. Yeah. It's the only time in my life where I've criticized someone for not being drunk enough. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Robin, you want to talk about a show that only you and me were on? I don't have one.
I mean, no. Yeah. No.
I want to do drunk history so bad, and I don't know the guy. I want to do it so goddamn bad.
You should totally do
yeah,
it.
I
want to
do
fun.
It.
Yeah.
Be awesome at it.
You would be excellent at it.
Put in a word, you two.
And yeah. I want to drink Jägermeister the whole time.
Oh,
nobody has done that.
No, that is disgusting.
I just want to do awesome. The reenactments. Yeah. I think I'd be more suited for that, probably.
Well, you're an actress.
Yeah, right? Like a real...
Actor.
So we do a thing here called Air It Out.
Are we at the end already?
No.
Oh.
I'm just in the middle.
No, we'll do the Air It Out at the very end.
Air It Out makes me nervous already.
We always do it at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
like right. When there's like 8 minutes left, we should do it. No, seriously.
I agree.
Oh, all right.
I'm on your side.
So you guys were in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
You become friends. Robin is dating half the town, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, real floozy.
She's just
running
around through
with
these
all the
men.
Christian boys. Well, he wasn't Christian, but... Well,
when,
I actually know his mom was
When you... You both came to L.A. from San Diego, I'm mm-hmm. assuming. Did you come to
sort
the same
of,
time?
Yeah.
Or what was the... What was? How, here's my the real question. How did the transition from San Diego to L.A. affect your friendship in any certain way?
You know, for going from the land of beaches to the
yeah.
land of dying dreams.
I feel like we're the type of friends that you could, like, time can pass and we'll
yeah,
still
yeah.
see each other, and it's like you lock right back in.
Right.
Yeah.
To a groove.
To a groove. We're also doing such different things that there's never been any, like, I don't know,
yeah.
crossover. I mean, because Robin's dated half the comedy community.
Literally one person in the comedy
community. I know. But yeah, Robin went to school in LA, and I, or like outside of LA.
Yeah, I went to school at LMU, and Aaron was up in San Francisco for a little while.
For a semester until I dropped out.
Yes. So I came down to LA.
Yeah.
And I guess it was through like the UCB scene and mutual friends at UCB that we kind of like reconnected.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're still like talking.
If I can interject, there was no.
No, you may not. This is our podcast now.
there was no plan. There was no like, we're going to both go to LA and do this thing. It was like you guys lost touch for a minute and
yeah.
then you reconnected through comedy.
I would say so in a sense.
Yeah,
I mean, neither of us, when we went away to school, were immediately like, we're going to LA and we're going to. I mean, I had a plan of, okay, I'm going to film school for production and I want to get into acting.
Well, and Robin had done this MTV herpes commercial.
It was an MTV STD like promo. It was, do you have MTV?
Yeah.
So the implication was that I could have any type of MTV.
But it was herpes. Sure.
But it was herpes.
Sure. It was great in high school. Got lots of fun jokes at prom. It was a good time.
Do you have MTV? Was it just a joke? Or was it actually a PSA?
And she's like staring at
it. It's in the world of a PSA, but it aired a lot during our junior year, sophomore year. It was a parody of a PSA. And MTV was the STD.
So in my mind, Robin's always, and probably still, because Robin does interesting plays and stuff.
Thanks. Fugitive Kind. Hashtag.
Really? The theater?
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's real theater. It's not even. It would be very. I really like it a lot.
Thank you.
However. No, I mean, not.
Wow. Is this the air it out part?
Start it up.
Shit.
Start it up.
Yeah.
No, Robin's always been in my mind has always been somebody who's there, but I always think of her as in more of a goddess type place or in more of a
I love that we both have each other in
yeah,
these.
Yeah, well, it was she like has her shit together, and then she also does. She's in a theater company, which is really good, but they do really over the top. I don't know how to explain it without.
Totally fine.
Like over the top in what sense?
Like avant garde or.
We're
coming.
It's not that at all. It's beautiful. It's definitely
work that makes you lean in.
Yeah.
And feel feelings.
They're really great plays. They're sincere.
There's sincerity and comedy in them.
I have a resentment, I think, towards dramatic theater.
Sure.
That's my own.
Yeah.
Issue.
Yeah.
And but I love dramatic theater, but I feel in the avant-garde, part of me feels I think comedy's harder.
I was going to maybe assess that it's that type of work would make you feel more vulnerable, and then your type of work would make me feel more vulnerable.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I would be
the idea of standing the idea of that would terrify me.
Right. But well, and then you did
you the, leaning into maybe something that's
something that where it's where the audience is just watching me move and say words sincerely, and then looking at my live body move around the stage. I would be sorry. I couldn't take myself seriously. But the last show that I saw you do,
Shine Darkly,
which is
it was an adaptation of Twelfth Night. I played Mariah in it.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of physical movement.
Yes, right, and it was
guys,
very
viewpointsy.
Is it movement based theater?
We do a lot of viewpoints as our warm up.
Oh, you do?
And to kind of get us into the world of.
I used to teach viewpoints.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, that was pretty new to me too before I joined this theater company.
It's real weird.
Yeah. You just said, but it gets you out of your head. And that's a big thing for me too, because I'm pretty left brained in life. And that's, I think, what I love about performing and acting is being.
Yeah. It's really good. I'm jealous of the performances where an audience goes in and it's a great performance and no, they don't have to make any sound and everyone can just go home thinking that it went great, you know, when it does go great as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. But it's great.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I think as comedians, the vulnerability and not you see things and you're like, that could be funny if you just had a little twist on it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
so much potential for being very, very funny if there was just an awareness of itself.
Yeah, totally.
I'm the opposite.
Love it.
I would much rather be doing drama all the time.
Yeah?
I just did an interview for a website, and they said,
which website? Come on, tell us.
I'm blanking on it, honestly, on the name. Trainwrecked. It's this new thing, Trainwrecked, and they're interviewing a lot of artists and stuff. But the first question was, have you always been funny and all this stuff, and were you born hilarious? I think was the question.
Born hilarious.
And I was like,
absolutely.
Look at my dick, man.
Here I am.
Yeah, I came out. It was hot in there.
The thing about you gotta see this baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious.
So I was like, No, I'm still, in fact, trying to work on the hilarious part. I've always seen the comedy aspect of what I do as a necessary evil, and I really do feel that way. This was always about expressing opinions to me. Acting to me is much more enjoyable when it doesn't have to be funny. And I wish that I could. I so badly want to be Henry Rollins instead of a comedian.
Yeah, that makes
that
a
makes
lot of sense.
So much yeah. sense. I mean, yeah. I've never yeah. heard you say that.
And I just don't know how to switch over to that. Like yeah. I would in 2 seconds if somebody was like, you know, you could just tour. Didn't do like a Jello Biafra thing. I'd yeah. be like, yeah, okay, I'm just doing that from now on.
That's
yeah.
great. Like, I really love that. Yeah.
But I don't know how do you. I have no idea how to. So
I think
for
you
now,
need to fake like a spousal death or something that everyone would be like, oh, this is why this is happening. He's right. doing the spousal
He's made this
death,
huge
death
yeah.
as a, yeah. tour.
The funniest commentary on this that I ever heard was I won't say the comedian's name, but I was doubled over laughing. He was talking about something in his act about a bit about. Something very heady, like why all men want to return to the womb or whatever, you know, or something like that. And he goes, in my act, I compare it to, and then he says some dumb thing, and he goes, because of course, I have to put a stupid joke in the dumb shit. And he was so disgusted, and I was like, I was like, that's so funny how angry you are about that.
Right.
I'm not angry about it. I'm just like,
yeah.
I like natural expression. I enjoy. I just started writing a column for a magazine, and I can't say which yet.
God damn it.
So, website drop, magazine drop.
Yeah, website, magazines. But it's an op-ed thing. And it's funny because it's so much nicer when the goal is not comedy.
Mm.
Yes.
Because then the pressure is off.
Yeah.
Like when you watch, for instance, and this is going to sound like a weird example, but trust me, it's a great example. When you watch Burt Reynolds in an interview on a talk show, he fucking kills. He's hilarious. And it's such a beautiful, wonderful surprise because you're like, I didn't expect Burt Reynolds to be funny.
Right.
It's
right,
like
right.
when Harrison Ford goes on Kimmel and he kills. You're like,
Tom
I don't know
Waits
Harrison
too.
Ford.
Tom Waits in
yeah,
interviews
Tom
is
Waits.
Always like yeah. such a delight.
It's so much better being that guy
yeah,
because
yeah.
as soon as you're officially the comic, it's like, why aren't you
Pressure's
being funny?
Yeah.
And then you feel like, and then you start trying, and then once you start trying, then
Gross.
It's like, yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, for sure.
I want to somehow get over into that place where they're like, he's a writer, but he's very funny.
Yeah. Well, is there something to be said for you doing more like mainstream, not mainstream comedy, but like stand up as opposed to more theatrical? Sort of things.
I would love to do more theatrical things.
Yeah.
So I actually am taking a little, I'm not taking a break from stuff, I'm still going on the road and stuff, but I'm not doing a ton of stuff around town right now because I want to take a break and build a new thematic show.
That's cool.
And then take that out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, I'm getting into a bad habit where I'm rushing back into the clubs, into the alt rooms and whatever you want to call them, and doing these 10-minute sets and putting this pressure on. I've got to be as funny as I can be for 10 minutes.
Right.
Joke. And it's like, my heart's not in it. I don't enjoy doing it that much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. But anyway, sorry. We're really digressing into my shit.
You know what it's time for.
Oh, boy.
Did I blow it? Did I ruin the whole thing and take up all the time we had left with my thing?
No. That was like 3 minutes,
Am I
Joe.
A piece of shit?
Yes, you are, but it has nothing to do with how long you've been talking.
May I say one last thing
yes.
about that thing? I'm remembering when I saw that last show that Robin did. I was working on a show for The Fringe where, like, I want to do... My goal is to make, like, a really artful show and do a bunch of different things and, like, you know, everybody's goal, but I'm not a stand-up, so I'm trying to do all these other things. And I was watching their show and I was like, oh, this is really good and everyone's enjoying it, and the goal is not a laugh every 4 minutes and
yeah.
it but also like, oh, you know, that could be funnier. It's just so hard to make everything, to make something meaningful and funny, and then being jealous of that, and then
yeah. Well,
that's
it's
all.
Why I was always...
Maybe I already said that.
It's why I always leaned, like, as far as comedy influences went for me, I was always way more of an Albert Brooks and Woody Allen type of guy. Mm. Like, I liked that kind of thing much more than I liked... Yeah, you know, I was a fan of Ghostbusters and all that stuff growing up, but I was way more into... As I got a little bit older, high school-ish, you know, later high school, I was way, way more into these things that had... The humor was coming out of the characters being, you know. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy last night, the new one. It was great. It was a fun movie. It's funny. But every joke 90% of the jokes are not indicative of any way of the characters. Mm. They're very like sitcom-y type jokes. They're just jokes that any one of the characters could be saying. Right. But when you find somebody like, you know, for instance, like when you watch like Curb Your Enthusiasm, or you watch like the old Lily Tomlin like one woman shows and stuff.
Sure.
All that stuff is funny because of the character. If you took it out of that voice, it's not funny anymore. Mm. You know, so like I just like stuff like that better. I think it takes a lot of pressure off, and I think it's much more natural. Mm. You know, which is what you're saying. I think.
Yeah, I much more enjoy writing for other characters than my own character.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's a vulnerability thing.
Speaking of vulnerability, oh, I'm really excited.
No, one last thing. No, before we get there. But women aren't funny, right? Let's talk.
Well, it's a late game to open this can of worms.
You guys are great. You were great guests tonight. You get. I said you guys because I don't see gender.
Right.
Or because everything's through the perspective of the male.
Or yeah.
That is an East Coast thing. You guys.
I say you guys.
Yeah.
I say you guys.
It feels weird. I feel like it's more comfortable to say you guys, and then I feel like if I say you gals, it sounds like I'm going out of my way to be I'm seeing that you're women. You know,
or you y'all ladies.
I'm just becoming southern for no reason, just to avoid it.
If anyone ever calls me like lady or you ladies, I think that they have a foot fetish. Or like,
really?
I feel seems like they're being overly polite because they're imagining some sort of
someone just did something. You know that there's a foot site? If you've ever taken a photo of your feet on
there's
Instagram,
there's a porn site with feet.
This is slow down.
No, I mean you can Google any.
Someone just brought my attention to this.
And anyone who's in the public domain and feet, and there's a picture of her
one
feet.
Of mine is my brother's feet and his cat.
Really?
Which is hilarious.
Ooh.
But it's like on my profile. But it this
that's
is
weird.
I don't think that there's a picture of my feet on the internet.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah.
I've
looked. I don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so you haven't made it.
I'm gonna fucking force this through. It's time for fucking air it out.
Air it out.
That is where the two of you have an opportunity to bring something up to the other person that perhaps upset you that you never mentioned in the past, or an issue that you haven't, you know, there's never been a good time to kind of address it.
Or something very emotionally positive, you know, like when we had Jesse Pop and Vince Averill on, they're very manly men from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So Vince brought up the time he cried when he was moving away from Detroit when he was saying goodbye to Jesse, and Jesse interpreted it as Vince thinking he wasn't going to make it.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, no. He's like, I never told you because I was going to miss you. So it can be a thing like that too. You know,
that can't be beef.
It doesn't have to be a negative thing, but it can be a beef. But this is the safe space, as we like to say.
Yeah, it's total safe space. You can air something out. It's called Air It Out, without fear of reprisal or of being emotionally attacked.
Yes.
Sure.
Would one of you like to go first?
I feel like I can't really.
Do you have anything? I don't. I feel like if anyone was going to have a beef, it would be you with me.
What do you imagine she would say?
Oh, I mean, Robin is such a solid friend, and I think that, and I think I'm okay, but I feel like I'm a little more erratic, and I don't know.
But I love that about you.
Okay.
That balances out. And I think for as much as I think we get, like, you characterize it as, like, you being more messy or whatever than me and me being really in control, like, I got my messes.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, but, I mean, we still connect. Yeah.
Look, I want mess cred, too. All
right. Well, here's a really, funny thing, or something I really loved about Robin. I don't know why. Maybe we can unpack it, but, or something that moved me in some, I don't know. When I had this bachelorette party for this marriage that didn't last, in my head...
How long did the marriage last?
A year. Less than a year?
Just under, I think.
Wow.
But a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was checking on.
And how long ago was that ended?
We got divorced in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 That's 2 days in a row. I was out on a date from the dating app I belong to.
Oh, do you think this is a date?
Last night. No. No, that's not what this is how I date.
Yeah. Microphones are not on.
Another day like this.
No, the microphones are not on.
This computer is a cardboard box.
I'm on a dating app, but I was out with somebody I met on it last
I'm on a dating app.
Night. So much effort to make the cardboard box computer that right. looks like the real computer.
But anyway, she was telling me how she was married for like less than 2 years or something. So it was just, it's just
it's
weird.
Very common.
2 days in a row to meet.
I have two close friends who were both married, who got married months from each other, and both ended it within a year.
We were together for a while before then, and then we started fighting a lot and things got kind of bad, so we got engaged and then got married.
Yeah, that's
double down.
Yeah.
A lot of people do
it changes
that.
It.
Let's just
I think
see.
It does it.
It's like chicken. It's a movie.
A lot of people do that.
Playing relationship chicken.
And also, there's like, if things are bad, like an engagement is like such a celebration. It's a happy time. Everybody's excited and happy for it, so it feels like it's better for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So, what were you saying, though? Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You just totally.
So. My bachelorette party, in my head, I was treating it like it was the last time I was ever going to have any fun for the rest of my life. Like, and my friends kept on pointing out to me, like, Erin, you'll still be alive after this. Cause I kept on saying, like, I want to be on a street corner. I want to do street art. Let's do all these things. Oh, and the reason why I brought up the bachelorette party earlier was because halfway through the night, I got to cut all their dresses and redesign their dresses. The Michael Jackson thing reminded me of that. But I, you made one of my dreams come true at that party.
Oh, the ice cream crown?
Yeah. We took mushrooms, and I really wanted
I did not take mushrooms. Maybe that's what I should admit. She did give me.
She didn't do mushrooms.
That's what we'll air out. She handed me a Molly pill in the bathroom at the club, and I pretended to do it. She really wanted. I did a little bit of it, but I did a lot less than you thought I did. I put it in my mouth. I was like, and then went into the bathroom and spit.
I think
the rest
I remember
out.
Saying like, "You don't have to do this." That's really funny. You spit it out. That's
damn
so
it,
expensive. Right?
I know.
So expensive.
I wasted some of your money.
You should have just given it to someone else.
No, everyone else was already pretty high, and I was like, I can't. I mean, the one time I've done edibles, I almost lost my mind. So I was like, I don't want to be that person who takes it and then tells Erin she needs to take me to the hospital because I'm paranoid.
Yeah.
So
no, it's like, fine. I remember. Being conscious of that and being like, this is not. Don't need to do
this on her. And then you're like,
it was straight out of a peer pressure like teen commercial.
Yeah,
in the bathroom with another one of the girls. Like, hey, no, it's fine. You don't have to, but like, it's really fun.
I remember, I don't want to give specifics, but there was this other time where I did something really awful and kind of shocking in a relationship. With her, and I like told you about it, and I remember like really not thinking that you would judge me or anything, but I really like you were probably like the most understanding, like cool friend about it, so I really appreciated that.
Well, that's great. That's like a Hannah and her sisters thing. If you've ever seen the film, it's my favorite movie of all time, but
because
it's incredibly insightful, but that's the whole thing with the Hannah character. Mia Farrow is.
Yeah.
Very put together and very collected. And then her sisters start to doubt her and sort of resent her because they're like, you wouldn't get it. And she's like, what do you mean? Yeah, it's fine. I get it.
you know?
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
She's kind of like a Hannah.
Totally. Yeah. Because
I got Hannah and her sister's scene like 3 weeks ago in a class. And I hadn't seen the movie yet. And I just watched it.
It's a really it's nice movie.
Yeah. 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 It is great.
Because I remember really needing you in that situation. And you were there. It was nice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, girls. She's a girl.
Oh, there we go.
Girls.
It's girls.
Not ladies.
Girls.
Ladies, you think that they're thinking some gross stuff. Girls, you know
girls
exactly what they're thinking.
I got
You're
heckled.
A little girl.
Yes.
I got heckled in Scotland for saying ladies.
You did?
Huh. Yeah, there was apparently the most hardcore feminist at my show, I guess.
For saying ladies?
I
always thought ladies was polite.
I had a joke where I go, where the to lead into the punch, I go, ladies, ladies. And she goes, women! And I go,
what?
I go, what? And she goes, women? I go, what's wrong with ladies? She goes, you're making an assumption. And I was what is the assumption other than good, that you have manners? I don't understand what assumption I'm making right now. She goes, you're making an assumption. I go, fine, I'm sorry, miss. Anybody in the room with a vagina, that's who I'm addressing right now.
See, that's problematic, though.
Why is that problematic?
Because there are trans women who don't have vaginas.
Oh boy.
I think that heckle was more from like the Scottish culture of like people. You did Edinburgh Fringe, didn't you? Yeah. Like it's just a different audience culture
they're super monsters.
Interactive and
I had a great time, but when I did find a sensitive person, they were so much more sensitive than anybody I've ever encountered in the States, which made no sense to me.
Right.
Because Scotland's a kind of shit kicking, beer drinking, let's
were
throw
you
back
in
some
Glasgow?
Scotch. Yeah, no, we were
Edinburgh.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're just bad.
Yeah, maybe I suck at comedy. But anyway.
I'm just kidding.
If there were any trans women that don't literally have vaginas, they weren't offended because they didn't say anything.
Right.
But the other lady was very offended by the term
woman.
Ladies. Woman. Sorry. See?
So
sorry,
women.
I'm trying my best. Women, you guys were great. I can't. It's too much. I can't do it. This is why I have the Gallagher machine. You stay in, no problems.
Nobody in the Gallagher machine is yelling at you.
There's nobody talking to me.
Yeah.
I just sit there and I stare at it. My dog and we hang out. It's a nice time actually.
Do you guys have anything you'd like to plug coming up?
Oh, let's see.
I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe again this year. I don't know how many Scottish listeners you have after that.
With what?
A few.
With what?
Have fun.
Oh, I'm doing a one-woman murder mystery called Murder Town.
Nice.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do you know where you'll be?
I will be at a new venue, a new Gilded Balloon venue called the Rose Street Theater.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's very exciting for me because I'm going back to doing like characters and things that I really enjoy doing, whereas last year I did a show like as myself talking about my divorce and stuff, and it just took a lot out. So if you want to see a show that I enjoy more, come to Murder Town the whole month of August at the Edinburgh
really
Fringe.
Awesome. Robin?
Good for you. Seriously.
Yeah,
that sounded sarcastic. I meant it sincerely.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great time.
Yeah. You can follow me at Buck Robin.
And you have your film.
And I have a film called... Thank you.
You don't have to plug it.
Aaron's my agent, everybody. She's my publicist and my agent. I have a film called Hard Sun that's on Amazon. And then I had a film called Somewhere Beautiful that just played at the Los Feliz 3. And
nice.
I think that should end up somewhere in the digital space sometime soon.
Savage Kind.
Fugitive Kind.
Can't do it.
Fugitive Kind is the theater company I'm in.
And which is very good.
And we have a show in development, and we're having a fun party at the Bootleg in June 16th, 17th, that weekend, I believe.
Awesome.
A little theatrical gala, if you will.
Thank you for coming on and getting soft with us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Boys.
Feral Audio.